what the Hebrews looked like. And so, hallelujah, that was some of the pictures back in around 700 BC. And my friend, that's locks, that's dreads, amen. And it kind of come into play as we think about Samson and the locks of his hair, amen. I have another shot, amen, up here for you. Hallelujah, this is another relief. This is a brother with many braids, amen. This is how Joseph Gray used to wear his hair, amen. I'm just playing, Jay Gray. I'm just playing, my uncle. I'm just playing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, then we got another one up there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That was John Mark before it got really long. Amen. This was his natural hair journey. Amen. But my wife wanted to, she gave me an idea. She said, well, listen, you're going to have to show them now. Because it's going to be hard for them to understand that that's people of color. If they're not able to see what the European nations depicted themselves in the same reliefs. Well, let's ask ourselves, how did the Europeans depict themselves, amen, on reliefs? Let's look at one. This is Julius Caesar. You see how that looks completely different? You see? That looks completely different. All right? We know that that's not a brother. You understand what I'm saying? And I mean, you know, Anthony had come close. Heavy had come close. But that nose, you know, you ain't got that nose like that. You see what I'm saying? That's actually Julius Caesar. And you can go back and you can find different sculptures of people like Plato, amen, bust of Aristotle. And you'll be able to see a complete and stark difference when I show you these reliefs and tell you that that's us, that's Hebrew people, amen. History proves it. And every Sunday, I'm going to come with some more information for you until you understand what we're talking about. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! I might be crazy, but I ain't no dummy. Nah. All right. God bless you. God bless the truth, prophetess. Hallelujah. Well, listen, let's begin. Let's look at 2 Samuel 13. We got a lot of work to do, saints. And so you might have to take good notes or get you a CD because I got a lot of moving to do. We're going to move some furniture in here, amen? And and so we're going to do what we can do to be out in a timely fashion. But just listen, just buckle your seatbelt. Just come on, do it with me. Just buckle your seatbelt. Amen. All right. Click it. All right, because we're going to move up in here, all right? So 1 Samuel 13, let's start at verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair or beautiful sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister, Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Let's just stop right here. And we just kind of moving slow right here because when we begin to get in the plan and everything like that, it's going to move faster. But we got to deal with who we're talking about here. So, Father, add a blessing to the reading here and the exposition of your word in Jesus' name. Saints, we observe how Amnon, amen, didn't love his sister, but he lusted after his sister. He was desiring something that was forbidden. The Bible says that he could not do anything to Tamar because she was a virgin and she was young. And in biblical times, amen, especially in the Old Testament, unmarried daughters were kept from the company of men and boys their age, amen, because they didn't place no confidence in the flesh, because they didn't, amen, give no occasion or place to the devil, amen. And we talked about how we need to do the same thing and go back to the Hebrew ways of raising our children. But if you remember, because of the safety mechanisms, amen, of watching their kids, the Bible pretty much tells us that Amnon's desire for his sister was put in check. It was put in place. Amen. And then the Bible comes in and says, but Amnon had a friend. Amen. And they're talking about Jonadab. And the situation was over. He would have never been able to get to his sister but for this friend. Amen. And so we began to talk about friends. And how, hallelujah, evil communication corrupts good manners. And we went through a litany, a slew of different things on proving, hallelujah, that the people we hang with, amen, determine how we live and what we do for the Lord. They can corrupt us a lot of the times. Last week, we looked at the phrase, son of Shimeah, and saw how Jonadab was so close to power,
so close to prestige, so close to royalty, but not close enough. And it produced an envy in Amnon, envy in Jonadab over Amnon. And we talked about envy last time, if you remember. We gave you some examples of envy and reasons why we should not envy. And we even talked about the remedies of envy. And so we'll begin tonight looking at chapter 13 again, looking at verse 3. And the title of tonight's message is going to be A Very Subtle Man. Somebody say that with me. A Very Subtle Man. And we're just going to say lie on that. And that's coming out of verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now, the Hebrew word here for subtle is wise. Somebody say wise. Yeah. Jonadab was wise. This Hebrew word also means shrewd, sharp, witty, smart, intelligent, perceptive, crafty, cunning. That's some of the words that you would use to describe Jonadab. Josephus, the historian, writes about him, and he describes Jonadab as an extraordinarily wise man of great sagacity. They say, Pastor, did he have gas? No, not that type of gas. Sagacity. Sagacity means extraordinary discernment. This brother was keen. He could look at a situation and see the truth behind the matter. He was perceptive. You see? And that's one of the reasons he could tell that something was wrong with Amnon because of his sagacity, because of his discernment, his perception, his wisdom, his intelligence. You see what I'm saying? This dude was kind of like a Solomon, y'all. You know? Now, nobody was as wise as Solomon, but he was on the same scale as Solomon. Amen? The only difference was that he was a Solomon, but in a negative way. In a negative way. Jonadab was wisdom, but with no morals. Perception, but no piety. Skill, but no scruples. He had discernment, but his discernment was for diabolical purposes. He had discernment, but it was for devious methods and means. He was an unethical person, but he had the wisdom of Solomon, and sometimes that's the most dangerous people that you could ever know. You see what I'm saying? And here we're going to see Jonadab do his thing with his wisdom, with his skill, with his discernment. And when it's all over, everybody else dead, hallelujah, or messed up, but he's standing in the clear. You ever knew somebody like that? Can get everybody in trouble but themselves? You ever met somebody that was wise in all the wrong ways? You ever met somebody smart but for all the wrong reasons? You ever knew somebody like that? That's Jonadab. That's Jonadab. And one of the problems that we have with Jonadab coming out of the scriptures is that Jonadab was extremely selfish. Somebody say selfish. And that's why he was not like Solomon. You see? All Jonadab thought about was himself. He was selfish. We can see it just pouring out of the scriptures. You see what I'm saying? Jonadab knew that Amnon was going to be the next king. And he said to himself, well, if I can't be the king, I might as well be close to the king. And he's so selfish, amen, that he's going to use his wisdom to try to get himself in a position with Amnon, the next king. He's shooting for, amen, a chief of staff position, a top advisor position, a secretary of state position, a vice president position, a lieutenant general position. You hear what I'm talking about. And he's going to use that skill and that wisdom to do that. And the phrase for this type of activity is called selfish ambition. Somebody say selfish ambition. Solomon wasn't like this. If you remember, Solomon, amen, he was asked of God, Solomon, anything you want, I'm going to give it to you. Y'all remember that? That was in 2 Chronicles 1:10. And Solomon answered the Lord. He said, give me now wisdom and knowledge. Why? That I may go out and come in before these people so I know how to conduct myself in front of your people, God. Not only that, he says, hallelujah, for who can judge this people that is so great? Listen, I want wisdom to be able to judge your people, to be a good ruler, God. Who can rule and judge and lead a mighty people like the people of God? Solomon said, who is sufficient for these things? I can't do it, Solomon says. God, give me wisdom. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked for selfish things like riches, wealth, honor, the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked for long life, but asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself. You asked for wisdom and knowledge. And why did you ask for it? That thou mayest judge my people. You asked for something for me to give you something, but it really wasn't for you. You asked for wisdom so you could be a good king, a good ruler, a good leader for my people. And God saw that. God saw that. Solomon was the exact opposite of Jonadab. Jonadab was selfish. It was all about him. And for Solomon, it was all about God. It was all about God's people. It was all about God's glory. A stark difference. Same level of craftiness and wisdom. Solomon much, a little bit more. But two different motivations. It's all about the motivations. Right? Because of what Solomon asked, long story short, God gave him wisdom, knowledge, but also gave him the things that he didn't ask for. The riches, the wealth, the honor. And I need you to remember this, Philip. If you will just get your motivation right, if you will just answer the question, why do you want it? God's going to wind up giving you something to bless other people. Then he's going to throw on that some lanyard, a cherry on top, and you're going to wind up getting everything that you really wanted. But it's the way you ask, and it's the reason you ask. Oh, somebody got to hear me up in here. Woo! It's the difference between a Solomon and a Jonadab. You see, let me tell you something here. As Jonadab hatches this plan to be on top, we know he's only thinking about himself. He's not thinking about Amnon. Because Amnon is going to be disgraced after he forcibly takes his own sister. He's not thinking about Tamar because Tamar is going to be pretty much a shut-in, an outcast after she's defiled. He's not thinking about King David because King David's family shatters and breaks. Amen. Rebellion happens all over the place. David actually loses the kingdom momentarily. He wasn't thinking about Amnon, his friend, Tamar, his cousin, David, his king, and he sure wasn't thinking about his God. He was only thinking about himself. How can I get myself in a cush position? That's what we call selfish ambition. Tonight, that's what we're going to talk about, saints. And it's so important for us to realize, amen, what selfish ambition is, what it does to you as a person and to us as a people, whether we're talking about Christians and specifically, especially Hebrews. To be all about you has been the destruction of our nation. Remember, every now and then we pull out something that's an ill of our people, black folk. You understand what I'm saying? And just like envy, crabs pulling each other down in a bucket, this selfish ambition would be chapter 2 in the book of ills and maladies of the true Hebrew people. This would be it, friends. This would be it, friends. And we're going to talk about it tonight. And hopefully God will rid us of this curse, this cancer. That's killing our people. So listen, we'll have 3 points tonight. And so we'll talk about, you say, Pastor, that's just the introduction. Yes, it is. Let's talk about our first point. Let me give you a definition of selfish ambition. Now, first of all, saints, we need to understand that all leaders have to have ambition. All right? Every leader has to have a level of ambition. All right? Ambition is a strong desire to achieve something, to achieve a goal, a dream, some type of aspiration that you may have. It's something that typically requires hard work and determination. ambition is to take something that's below average or mediocre and make it great. Amen. It's to do great things. And this is the nature of leadership. Every leader needs ambition. And since husbands are leaders, husbands need ambition. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Since pastors are leaders, pastors need ambition. All right? Since ministry head and 12 leaders are leaders, they need ambition. Amen? If you don't have ambition, you're not a leader. All right? Ambition is drive. It's drive. All right? You can't just want to chill and have no movement and no progress and be a leader. That's not leadership. Ambition is, okay, we're here, but where do we go from here? Where do we go? There should be some glory to glory, some faith to faith, some strength to strength. Oh, somebody hear it. Come on, somebody. So if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be worth your salt as a leader, the people that's following you got to be in the backseat saying, okay, where are we going? All right? Because if we ain't going nowhere, I might as well get out and walk. Amen? All right? So don't get this twisted. Selfish ambition is not ambition. Ambition is not wrong. Ambition is right. But it's selfish ambition that's wrong. Are you hearing me up here? All right? All right? All right? Intelligence and talent without ambition is like a bird without wings. You're grounded. You ain't doing what you was created to do. We got a lot of Hebrews, a lot of brothers in here. They ain't nothing but talk. Ain't nothing but talk. But when you look at their life and you say, okay, you've been here for 2 years. All right. Now let me wait and see. After 10 years, let me look at you and see where we're going. Oh, you see that? I got a couple of amens. And it was mostly ladies that said it. Husbands, do you have ambition tonight? See? Yeah, it's got to be some progress, some advance. You got to want to make your marriage great, your family great. You got to want to be like, nah, we're going to be in this house, and we're going to be with this job, and we're going to be, y'all got, y'all pulling this out. Now, I'm trying to get the selfish ambition, but y'all want me to stay on ambition. You got to have it, baby, as a leader. We got pastors, amen, been in the same building for 20 years. No ambition. We got ministry leaders. The ministry not growing under you like the Titus ministry is, but it's shriveling up. It's dying under you. It's diminishing. That's no ambition. It's no ambition. You're supposed to take something and bless it. That's how you could tell a leader. And now when I watch the church and the people of God, I love gifts, yeah. But you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for leaders. Take it and make it jump, baby. All right, come on, let's get off of that, y'all. I'm trying to go somewhere here. All right, so ambition is not bad. But there is something very wrong, amen, with selfish ambition. You see, because when we lead, we don't lead for ourselves. Ooh, man, y'all got me preaching about leadership. I'm trying to get where I'm going. Any leader that's worth his salt or her salt, you got to understand that that ambition, that drive can't be about you. A leader is like a taxi driver. I'm trying to take you where you need to be. I'm trying to get you there on time. I'm weaving through traffic, all right? But you ever had a taxi driver that got someplace to go for himself? I'm all off my notes, but let's just go with it, all right? Hamel, let's just go with it. Single woman, you looking for a man or God that's got vision, got ambition, but it's going to lead, amen, not for his good, but for the good of the occupants of his family, for his children and his wife. You understand what I'm saying? For the husband is supposed to lead and love his wife like Christ loved the church. He's supposed to lay down his life for his wife. So he leads, but he leads not for his benefit, not for his boat, not for his car, not for his hat, not for his shoes. But he leading for her. When he wake up and he see hobbling, and that's when he feels some kind of way. He done felt, oh, that's when he can say, I done did my job. Woo! That's when he can say. That's when he can say that. Because that's what our Lord did. He didn't do it for him. He did it for us. And as he see us be blessed, it bring him great joy and great love. Where the real men of God at up in here? Woo! Don't lead for you. Don't lead for you. You know? And sometimes leading for others is sometimes standing up and saying when they think something is best for the family and you think that it, or know that it wouldn't be. Sometimes leading for others is, I'm not going to do what you want right now. Because that wouldn't be good for where we're going. All right, I just had to throw that in there. Come on, y'all. Come on. Boy, I'm telling you, time fly when you're having fun. Yeah. Ambition. You see, same thing with pastoring. Pastors don't lead for themselves. No. They don't lead for themselves. The good shepherd lays down his life, his dreams, his aspirations, his goals, his future, everything. And he do it for the sheep. You with me so far? For the sheep. All right. Aristotle describes selfish ambition written in the Greek here as those who procure an office, rank, or honor also by illegal manipulation. And so it's not only somebody that's self-seeking and doing things just for them, but for their own gain and their own interest and their own advantage, they'll do anything for it. It's by any means necessary. They'll steal for it, cheat for it. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of that rap music, amen, get rich or die trying, you understand what I'm saying? It's putting selfish ambition into our young men. So they robbing, they jacking, they killing, can't get you slipping. Listen, it's all about me. Do you, do as thou wilt. And it's nothing but a Luciferian plot from the devil to kill a people. That's all it is. You need to get your ears out of that stuff. It's not the word of God. That's Jonadab. It's to do anything by any means necessary to be on top, to get the money, to be famous. That's destroying us. It's destroying Christianity, and it's destroying the Hebrew people. Take your time, Pastor. One commentator says that to have a heart of selfish ambition is to have a harlot's heart and a hireling heart. If you all about self, amen, you ain't no better than a harlot. Pastor, what's a harlot? A prostitute. Because the prostitute gonna do anything she need to do to get the money. And we got some, hallelujah, in the church, definitely some in our people, that's gonna do anything to get the money, to be in position, to be on top. You see? I'm going to show you here in a second. That's straight from the pit of hell. You see, God tells us in his word, a man can't have two masters. And if you're going to do anything for money, then we know who your master is, and your master show not God. I love the movement that Bizzle got going on. Anybody ever heard of Bizzle, the Christian rapper? Amen? Bizzle movement is what, brother? God over money. I'm not for sale, and you're not going to buy me. I'm not playing the harlot, and I'm not playing the prostitute for nobody. Woo! It's not only the heart of a harlot, but it's the heart of a hireling. What's a hireling, Pastor? Somebody that's doing something just for a check, just for some money, is hired. I quoted the scripture earlier when Jesus says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But the hireling, according to John chapter 10, when the wolf cometh, guess what the hireling do? He cut carpet, cut his way. He cut out, he run. Because the hireling don't care for the sheep. The hireling only care for himself. Selfish ambition, friends. The heart of a harlot, the heart of a hireling, and it's not good. Selfish ambition is of the flesh. Stick with me now. We got to move into hyperdrive. Galatians 5 and 19 talks about the works of the flesh. It says, now the works of the flesh shall manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. It's all the sexual immorality that we're trying to do against the law of God. It's not from the Spirit of God. It's from the fallen nature of man, the carnal nature of man, which we call the flesh. But he also says idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. And then we come upon a word right here in the King James, and it says the word is strife. 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 That word strife in verse 20, amen, in the other translations, you can see it in the NLT, is translated selfish ambition, right? And it's a work of the flesh. It's a work of the flesh. That type of ambition is not good for a leader because it does not come from God. Whatever you lead, it cannot be all about you. It's got to first be about God, then it's got to be about the people that you're leading, amen? Come on, give God some glory. Woo! That's what Jonadab had. It was all about him. I'm telling you, you could see it just breathing off the story. And all the commentators that come up and say that's what he was rolling in, just like he was rolling in envy. Not only that, selfish ambition opens doors to other sins. Meaning like when you roll with selfish ambition, amen, hallelujah, other sins are going to come up and manifest themselves as you try to get rich or die trying, as you try to get up no matter who you have to step on, amen. Other sins is going to manifest itself. In James 3:16, look what he says. He says, where there is envying and strife. Now, what you need to understand is that envy is the sister of strife. Most of the time where you find envy, you're going to find selfish ambition. Where you find selfish ambition, you're going to find envy. They're almost like twin sisters. Because when you got a person that want to be on top, if anybody get over them, what they going to feel? Jealousy and envy. You with me so far? All right, all right, all right. And so when you find somebody that's envying and somebody got something, what you going to find? Selfish ambition. I want that. I want that position. They twin sisters. They like rice and gravy. Pork and bean. Peanut butter. Hey! And jelly. Y'all got it? Hallelujah. Selfish ambition, just like the twin sister envy, produces confusion and every evil work. And oh God, when you get that thing in a church, when you get a group of people with selfish ambition and everybody wanting to be the leader and the 12 group leader and the ministry head and everybody looking and with envy and eyeing each other, oh, you kill a church dead. Kill a church dead. With people jockeying and vying for position. I pray to God that that never be named in Philadelphia. I pray God, woo, take the penicillin of this word and inject it into that infection. And we never see that thing in Philly. You understand what I'm saying? That the people of God say, hallelujah, I'm going to wait on the Lord for my season and my turn. And it don't matter who get up, who go up. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. You see? But Paul, hallelujah, looking at the Corinthian church, saw their selfish ambition. And he saw how they was always comparing each other to themselves and trying to be over one another and better than one another. In the very beginning, one was saying, I'm of Paul, the other one, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. They're trying to make themselves better than one another. Going throughout the book, Paul sees and he says, man, they talk about who baptized, who Jay Gray baptized me and John Thorne baptized me. They want to make a whole big thing about it. You see? Nobody wanted Phil to baptize him in that book for some reason. I couldn't. I'm playing. I like to mess with Phil. Also in Corinthians, I have this gift and I have that gift. I could speak in this and I can do this. That's why he had to cut up with them and say, listen, let me show y'all a more excellent way. They was, hallelujah, trying to be better than one another. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:20, he says, for I fear lest when I come, Phil, stop messing with that light, Phil. He says, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I should be found unto you such as ye would not. Paul saying, hallelujah, when I get there, I'm going to see y'all, and it won't be good. I'm going to find y'all like I don't want to see y'all, and y'all going to see me like y'all don't want to see me. But Paul, what you going to see? Debates, envying, wrath. Look at that word there. Strife, selfish ambition. Backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And I love what one commentator said. One commentator said, wherever you find strifes and self-ambition, this whole verse is going to be in that same place too. When people trying to jockey for position and be the biggest and the best, you're going to find debates, quarrel. Always want to argue, always want to fuss about something. Hallelujah. We got baptized by Sunshine Church. We this one, we that one. Hush that noise up. You're going to find envyings, you know what I'm saying? Jealous of one another gifts. You're going to find outbursts of anger, losing tempers. Remember, Corinth took each other to worldly courts to settle some disputes. So angry with one another. You're going to find backbitings, whisperings, that's slander and gossip. You'll find swellings and arrogance and pride, tumults, disorderly behavior. My friend, that's selfish ambition. It's not good in the church. And they got all kind of brothers and sisters that come with it. Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen. Woo! Let me give you some examples of selfish ambition. All right? This is our second point. B. Let me give you some examples of it from the scripture. What does it look like, Pastor? Amen. I'm going to give you some biblical examples, then I'm going to give you some real world empirical examples so that we can get a full grasp of what it is so we won't walk into it. The first example of selfish ambition, just like envy, hallelujah, would have to be Lucifer, all right? Remember, it's trying to get to the top no matter what, all right? It's trying to be there, amen, and it's selfish, it's all about you. Well, Lucifer is all about that. We read the scripture last time in Isaiah 14:12. We shouldn't have to go through it again, but hallelujah. In 13, hallelujah, we get the five I wills of Satan. And Satan is like, listen, I want God's throne. I want to be over all the angels. I want to be over all mankind. I want to be over God. I want to have his glory. I want to be like the Most High. That's the five I wills. And it was all about I. Anytime you hear somebody talking about I, me, my, it's a problem. It's kind of like that man in the New Testament. I'm going to build bigger barns for my this and me this and my that. What about God? What about the people that's following you? It's all about you. And that's what it was. Selfish ambition. It was all about Lucifer. He ain't thought about heaven. He didn't think about God. He didn't think about the third of the angels that was following him. He didn't think about humanity. And he sure didn't think about hell. You see? It was all about him. Let me give you another one. Adam and Eve. Selfish ambition. Just like envy, Adam and Eve was subject to selfish ambition. Because let me tell you how the devil got them. He said, come on, Eve, eat this and give it to Adam because you're going to be like God. You're going to be like God. He told him that in Genesis 3:5, ye shall be as gods. And what is that? Well, you're not happy where you're at. You're God's most prized possession. You're the hallmark of creation. But that's not enough for you. You want more. That's selfish ambition. You ain't thinking about nothing else, nobody else. And for you to disobey God that gave you everything, that meant that you would do anything to get above where you were. Selfish ambition. See, but a lot of times the devil will tempt us with what he was tempted with. And that's why he tempt with selfish ambition. Let me tell y'all somebody else he tempted with selfish ambition. Anybody can guess? Jesus. Remember when he took Jesus up? And he says, all these kingdoms I'm going to give you. I'm going to make you king over all of this. But you're going to have to bow down and worship me. And let me tell you something. A lot of people took the devil up on his offer with this year. Ooh! A lot of the celebrities and superstars and rappers and drug dealers, they done took the devil up on his offer. And he said, I'm going to give it to you if you bow down and worship me. That's selfish ambition, man. Jesus says, thou shalt not worship nobody else but the Lord thy God. You see? Let me tell you about Korah and Korah's rebellion. We talked about it a little bit. It was not only envy, it was selfish ambition. Korah rebelled against Moses. Amen. And look what he says in verse 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Moses, why are you over us? Why are you over us? Ain't nothing special about you, Moses. And the Bible says after Moses told them off, Moses told all the people, back up away from him. Everybody step back from them. Draw an imaginary circle around Korah, Dathan, and all them other boys. And the Bible said the earth opened up and swallowed them up. Because it was a selfish ambition. Miriam and Aaron, selfish ambition. We see in Numbers 12, 1, don't get bored on me. Listen, we got to go through this. If I could show you all the examples, then you're going to know, hallelujah, the strategies of the devil. Hallelujah. So he won't be able to tempt you. We're not ignorant of his devices. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. And why they spoke against him? Because Moses got him a little Ethiopian shorty. Amen. His wife had died. You understand what I'm saying? Him being a Hebrew, he looked, the little Ethiopian looked good. He said, what's happening? All right? What's happening? You know, I'm a servant of the Most High God. I can split water puddles and I can make bread. I can make Twinkies come from heaven. She said, I got you. It's good. But when he married the Ethiopian, you got to understand what I'm saying here. This, you know what I'm saying? It was an African woman Moses married. You know? It burnt Miriam up, man, his sister. You see? In verse 2, and Miriam and Aaron, they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Moses, the only one that can hear from God? He the only one? Had he not spoken also by us? We could hear him too. And look what the Bible says. And the Lord heard it. Selfish ambition, subversion, pride. And God had to get them straight. Yeah, I talk to all of y'all. But I don't talk to y'all like I talk to Moses. Woo! And in verse 10, hallelujah, the Bible says that Miriam became leprous. White as snow. Aaron looked upon Miriam and said, behold, she is leprous. Selfish ambition. And it brought forth judgment. I thought that was my little boy. But it's not just the Old Testament, selfish ambition. It's not just the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament too, yeah, yo. In fact, the disciples had a problem with it. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm drawing out all these examples because, listen, don't you dare sit in here and think that you can't be tempted by selfish ambition. Don't you dare sit in here and think that somehow you don't want to be up or you don't want to have some things, all right? This thing will jump on us, man. You see? And it was on the disciples. They was walking with Christ. And look what it says in Luke. In the Bible, in Luke 22:24, now they're walking with Jesus. That should be enough. Jesus told them, you know how many prophets and kings wish and desire to see the things and hear the things? Listen, how many of us would have loved to walk with Jesus, all right? But being with Jesus wasn't good enough. Being in the ministry of Jesus wasn't good enough. Being in the 12 wasn't good enough. Being a 12 leader wasn't good enough. Being a deacon wasn't good enough. Being a minister wasn't good enough. Woo! Oh, God, come on, somebody. Wherever you are, the devil will always try to tempt you to want more for selfish reasons. Look what he said. Luke 22:24. And there was also, what that word is? Selfish ambition. There was selfish ambition among who? Among them, the disciples. And look what the strife was about. Look what the argument, look what the selfish ambition was. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Peter looking at them, boy, y'all not even, boy, y'all not, boy, I'm better than all of y'all, boy. You see? Who's the greatest? We still got that going on in the church today. Yeah. Who's the greatest? You know the problem with that, James Malvoin? The problem with that is that none of us are the greatest. You know the answer to that question? While they stand up walking, talking about who the greatest is walking right with them. You understand what I'm saying? When they should have said who's the greatest, they should have said he the greatest. And it would have been case closed, conversation over. All right? But this was a recurring argument among the disciples. We find it again in Luke 9:46, and we don't have to go to it. It's scattered all out the gospel. Listen, in Matthew 18:1, they try to couch the question, amen, in another form. And they're walking with Jesus, and they kind of, you know how people do. And they came, in Matthew, and they came, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It was just another way to ask the same question. Who's the greatest? You see? And Jesus, you know he know what's in the heart. He played them all. He called a little child, tell him, he said, listen, he the greatest. And we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to get to that in a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now it got so bad, Miss Iola. Look what one of them do. Two of them do. All right? You know it. In Matthew 20:20, the Bible said, then came to him the mother. Them boys asked their mama to get Jesus to. Then came to him, hallelujah, the mother of Zebedee's children. Now, who's Zebedee's children? That's James and John, the sons of thunder. Can you see him going home? Mama Peter say he better than us, mama. And John, they all tripping, they going to get it. And mama, can you just ask him, mama? Boy, I'm cooking, boy. What's wrong with you? I'm smothering that gravy. What is wrong with you? Mama, please, mama. Go ask him if I could sit on his right hand or his left hand. So the Bible said that the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him, 21. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? What do you want? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons, selfish ambition, may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. Why? Why? It was amongst the disciples. Let me show you another fella before we run out of time. Diotrephes. You see? Yeah, we know a little dude like that name Macomb, huh? Yeah, close. You see, they mix his mama name up. And his daddy name. His daddy name was Trey. And, all right. What y'all crying here, boy? Y'all crying. His daddy name was Dion. But then it was a chance that his other daddy could have been Trey. So, Diotrephes. And his mama named Felicia. Diotrephes. I quit, babe. Come on, y'all. Mark, you know you want to smile, Mark. All right, 3 John 1:9 in the scriptures. Look what it say. John, man, is an apostle. He was the beloved apostle, the one that was on the bosom of the Lord. He was so close to the Lord, you know. Now, the Lord ain't put him in charge, but he was close to the heart of the Lord. And could you imagine, amen, John, the one that was in the bosom of the Lord, that close to God, and a regular Christian refuse him or question his authority? Well, that's Diotrephes. And the Bible says, John says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the what? The preeminence among them, he received us not. How you not going to receive John, the apostle, who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation? Boy, you got a problem. And the problem Diotrephes had, you know, besides his name, the problem he had, amen, was selfish ambition. Now, I want to show you this in some different translations. Let's look at this in the NIV. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be, that's selfish ambition. I got to be first. I got to be first. I got to be first. You see what I'm saying? They love to be first. To be second ain't good enough. To be third ain't good enough. I don't want you to ever have that heart feeling. Don't ever have that heart. Don't ever have that heart. Be happy to be on the team. You ain't got to be first. Because really, none of us are first. Even the ones you think first, not first. Put you first. You know what I'm saying? He first. All right, let's look at it in another translation, in the NLT. I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader. That's something else. Every group he in, he talked the most. Every time somebody needed advice, he got the answer. And every time a group needed to move somewhere, he assumes the position. Do you know people like that? Whether they have the gift or not, somebody say amen for real. They love to be the leader. And they refusing the apostles. A regular Christian, Diotrephes, refusing the apostle because of this selfish ambition. Look at the ESV. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first. You see how we drawing that out? You see how we drawing that out? Not only does he love to be first, not only does he like to be the leader, but if it fails to where they won't make him the leader, he gonna make himself. Don't ever be like that. Because when we exalt ourselves, God gonna abase us. Cut the legs from out under us. You with me so far? Yeah. Because we are not first. We are not preeminent. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, the leadership, that he would be first. And that's Christ, friends. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah! In Acts 20 and 30, Paul talked about it because this thing was not only in the disciples' day. It moved down and it was into Paul's day, amen, and he was talking to the Ephesian elders and he told them, man, that a time was going to come, hallelujah, grievous wolves would enter in, not sparing a flock. He says also, of your own selves, out of the church, shall men arise speaking perverse things. And what was going to be the goal? To draw away disciples after them. What does that mean, Pastor? That means they're not making disciples of Christ. They're making disciples of themselves. You see? And Paul warned us about that. To watch out for people with selfish ambition. You know? We got to watch out for it. That's Jonadab. And if Amnon would have saw him and saw his angles, his meticulous chess-like moves to get ahead, Amnon would have never listened to him. You see? It went from Ephesus to Corinth. And it's in the church today. We got Christians that want a position in the church so bad that they're going to do anything to get it. And whenever you want a position in the church, here's what you have to do. You got to ask yourself, why? Why do you want it? That's what you got to ask yourself. You got to ask yourself why. And if the answer is for you to be in front, for you to be ahead, for you to be over somebody. You see, some people just like telling people what to do. Now, they don't know what to do themselves, but they can tell you what to do. You see? You can't have that kind of heart, man. You can't have that kind of heart. And listen, I'm not talking about people with a natural administrative gift. No, that's just a gift. And you know, I'm talking about people with this selfish, malicious motivation just to be aggressive and mean to people and tell them what they're going what to do. You know? So you want to be a 12 leader. Why? You want to be a ministry head. Why? You want to teach in Philly. Why? You want to be a deacon. Why? You want to be a minister. Why? You want to be a pastor? Really? 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 Why? Why? You see? All these things are good, but the why has to be answered. Is it for the glory of God alone, the reason why you want to do it? Is it for the souls of men alone? Is it to reunite his people and to build Israel back up again as his will is in the book of Revelation? Is that your reason? Is it like Solomon, Lord, that I might judge and rule your people well? Or is it like Jonadab, to be out front, to be over? You see, most of the time you can tell your reasons, amen, because if your reason is not malicious, diabolical, or you don't have no ulterior motives, you're going to do it when nobody else looking. All right? I find that funny that people that want to lead and teach, they're not teaching anywhere else. And when you offer them to go to the nursing home or to teach in youth, or you offer them to teach, amen, some other place, oh, no, I'm not doing. Oh, really? Oh, so just in front of a crowd of 700, that's the only way that you'll teach? We know what it's about. We know what it's about. Listen, before I started teaching here, you know where I was teaching? Huh? I was doing Bible studies anywhere that they would, anywhere a group would come. You understand what I'm saying? I'm in Port Avis Park with a Bible open. Them bro getting blowed. I'm still preaching. Yeah, but the gospel said. Phil was there at a little house Bible studies, huh, Miss Amisha? G Money was there. Kendrick was there. It wouldn't even be nobody there. You preach to empty chairs as long as, listen, you preach to dogs and cats, but because it's not about pride. You know what I'm saying? Big sister, you remember? We in New Orleans having Bible study. I remember what I taught. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 4. Love. And we just breaking it down. Because your goal is not the number of people. Your goal is just that some soul would hear the word of the Lord. All right? So listen. Why do I want to do this? Would I do it for a small audience? Would one person? Would one person be enough? And this for teaching, this for worship, this for any ministry that you want to be front and center in, would you do it for one? You know the Bible, the old preachers used to say this, not the Bible, but old preachers used to say. They used to say, if it was only one of us that was lost and going to hell, Jesus would have still died for our sin. It wasn't about the number. It was about that one soul just for me. Just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. Not only about the number of people, all right? Because sometimes people want positions not only for the prestige, but for the, what they call it, d'argent? L'argent. I say d'argent, dollar and l'argent. L'argent, the Nero, the Benjamins. What you call that? That guap? They want that guap. Hey, God! All right? All right? You want that position? Huh? You could tell if your motivation is right, if you're going to do it absolutely free. 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 When Philly first started, I was paying to preach at Philly. Meaning we was paying the rent and we paying rent. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we paying $3,000 a month over there. We paying it all. That was before the people started tithing and everything. I wasn't getting paid. I was paying to preach. That's how bad the call is when it's real. That's how bad the love is when it's real. You're gonna pay to do it. It's not about you getting paid. You're going to pay to do it. I'm trying to help you here for a second. Selfish ambition. Same thing on the job, saints. Why do you want that promotion, that title? And more than that, what will you do to get it? Will you lie, cheat, steal, sleep with the supervisor or the boss? Do illegal things to get it? That's selfish ambition. Anytime you're going to break God's command for it, you're doing it all about you. On the streets? Oh, man. When you're selling drugs, huh? And you want that guap so bad? That dollar so bad? That Benjamin so bad? That you're going to go out and sell drugs and kill your own people? Are you going to take daddies out of homes late at night? And mamas out of home late at night? And sons and daughters, amen, have the mama's word about whether that child going to come home tonight alive or not? And you part of all of that? For some money? For some shoes? For a car? For some rims? That's a sellout. That's selfish ambition. That's what that is. You ain't nothing but a Jonadab. You ain't nothing but a Jonadab. You care about the money and yourself more than you care about anybody else. And the boy try to lie. I'm trying to feed my kids. You can go work at Dell Champs and feed your kids. You understand what I'm saying? You can get your job at Lowe's and feed your kids. No, you like what you're doing. How that big car like that feeding your kid? Some of them use that excuse, Deli, and they saw their kid in 3 years. When you're producing that devil music, that death music, that music that got us dramatizing being hard and shooting and killing and fornicating and adultery. Those artists that put that music out, that's anti-Bible, anti-God, that's harlots and hirelings. That's selfish ambition. You're all about you. You're not about nobody else. And that's not leaders. That's Judas's. That's what that is. Oh, y'all quiet, but I'm going to call it like it is tonight. Yeah, those on TV, shaking their body on MTV and BET, and people you want to dress like and be like, we got people in the church coming up at church and talking about their favorite star is this. That guy ain't doing nothing but putting lust in our little boys and lust in our men and lust, amen, everywhere that go. Got people cheating on their husbands, wives. Part of the reason why we got single families, that's a principality. That's what that is. In that person, that's a principality of lust and fornication, amen. And when they do that for a little bit of money, that's selfish ambition. And I pray a time come in our people, all right, and in all Christianity, we stop lifting up people that selling their soul to the devil and killing off our people. Woo! That's selfish ambition. Listen, we almost done, but let me just do this right here. It's like Jonadab is living like Achan, who saw the gold and the garments and say, man, forget about all of Israel. I'm going to do me right now. That's how these people living, man. We need to get to the point where we do like Bizzle on his song. He said, listen, I'm not for sale. Because that's what Jesus did to the devil. When he came off him, all that, Jesus told the devil pretty much, I'm not for sale. And you're not going to buy me, amen, to be a Judas, to be an Achan, to be a Jonadab to my people. I'm not for sale. Come on, say it with me. Say, I'm not for sale. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. You see, what has happened is the Ashkenazis and the powers that be, the Luciferian devil worshiping behind the scene, Bohemian Grove, Bahamut worshiping people, they pull a few of us, especially us. The Hebrews, they pull a few of us. A few of us, the worst of us, that want a Ferrari or a Bugatti or whatever they call that, a little house. And they give us a script on what to say in the music and what to do that's going to cause fighting and killing and gangbanging and pull us far away from God. They want to be famous so bad that they're going to sell out their people. My prayer, Philly, is that that would change and that we would get a people that don't have selfish ambition at all. That we would have a people that when they would come to any one of us and try to stop the movement, woo, with a Judas, with an Achan, with a Jonadab, that we as a people would love one another so much that we would say, I'm not selling out for nothing. There's no amount of money that you could write. Million, 2 million, a billion. Who cares? You could take your money and go to hell with it. You understand what I'm saying? You could take it and go with it. Because I'm just not for sale. Listen, it's selfish ambition that kill movements, yeah. I can't even tell you where this thing is going to end up. I don't know if you're even ready for it. But what I do know is that, hallelujah, those with selfish ambition can't come. Everybody who ever did anything in history, y'all, whether it was Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, whether it was Moses, whether it was Jesus, they wasn't about just them. They was about their people. You understand what I'm saying? You see? You can't be for sale. You got to be about God and you got to be about people. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Jonadab. All right, this is the last point. We're going to try to wrap it up quick. C, remedies. Remedies for selfish ambition. All right? And I'm going to do these quick on the surface right here. Because there's the same thing with envy. It's the same thing. All right? If you got this thing where you're trying to pull yourself up and, you know what I'm saying, it's all about you. Number one, you better check your salvation card. All right? Salvation. It's just like envy. Amen. Because a lot of the times it could be a sign, just like Simon the sorcerer, that you're not saved. Simon the sorcerer saw the power of the Holy Spirit, Miss Michelle, and he told Peter, he said, let me buy that from you. He wanted the power, but just for selfish means. And Peter said, I perceive that you're in the gall of iniquity. You're not saved. You're not saved. You're still in your sins. That's what Peter was saying. And a lot of people, amen, in church that's trying to pull themselves up to the top spot, they don't really have a legitimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So listen, somebody here tonight, all right? You got the wrong motives. You still have your old heart, your old ways. You got to be saved. You got to admit you're a sinner. You got to believe in Jesus Christ as you're on your way to heaven. And you got to confess that Jesus is Lord. And the Bible tells us, amen, though your sins be red as scarlet, that the blood of Jesus will wash it white as snow. You just got to believe on him and call upon him in a time in which he may be found. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Another thing you're going to need is prayer. Amen. If you filled up with selfish ambition, you got to pray. You got to take James 4:2 at his word. You only have not because you ask not. Don't just be trying to go after these positions and break necks and cut throats so that you can get it and stepping on people's backs to get it. Nah, if you want something, you ain't got to do all that. Just ask Daddy. Ask God. God's going to give it to you. Amen. But the problem is, amen, you have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss. Back to your motive. Why you want it. You know what I'm saying? Why you want it. You know? All right, Just like envy, you got to get in the Word if you got this problem. In 1 Peter 2:2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Whenever you have selfish ambition, it's a sign that you're still a baby Christian. You get mad because people are over you and you always want to lead. That's carnality. That's goo goo gaga. That's what that is. You can't be under nobody? No. That's baby. Here's another one, love. Somebody say love. That's how you get rid of selfish ambition. You begin to care for people more than you care for yourself. You got to love people. You got to love people. And that's what our Lord say, amen, amen. He say, listen, as I love you, he say, love one another. That's what the Lord say. The Lord say, greater love had no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. When you begin to love people, amen, it won't matter who got the highest position. None of that matters, you know. And I'm going to show you something in Philippians 2:3. I'm going to show you something right quick. This is our last scripture, y'all. Look what he said. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's that word again. So, Pastor, how do I remedy this strife? Just don't do it. How do I stop vain ambition, selfish ambition? Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Every time you feel yourself about to make a decision based solely upon yourself and self-motivation, stop yourself. Of course, that's going to take some self-examination. And we got a lot of folk that don't know they self. They don't even know when they're being selfish. You tell them they selfish, they're like, I never heard that before. What in the world? What is wrong with you? So you got to know when you're selfish, and you got to know your heart. And you got to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why do I want this? And if you can't come up with a good answer, chill. Just stop it. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But he says in 2:3, but in lowliness of mind, The second way, amen, remedy selfish ambition is lowliness of mind, which is called humility. Humility, be humble. If you humble, if you have lowliness of mind, if you say to yourself, Lord, I'm nothing. I don't deserve nothing but hell. I don't deserve nothing but death. Listen, you ain't walking in like you God's gift to Philadelphia. You like, listen, I'm just happy to be here. You with me so far? I'm nothing. And anything I get, anything I do is by the grace of Almighty God. I'm just happy to be here. Me, I don't know how I turn up to be pastor. I'm just happy to be here. You see? Humility, lowliness of mind. And that's how Jesus dealt with his disciples. That's how he dealt with them. When they were talking about who the greatest, he pulled up a child and he said, listen, he who humbles himself like a little child, that's the greatest. He gave him another one in the book of Mark. He says, the Gentiles, the heathen, that's the way they rule. They lord it over each other. He says, so shall it not be among you. He tells us, hallelujah, whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus himself, came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Humility. I'm not here to lead. I'm not here to get the crowns and the grandeur. I'm here to serve, man. I'm here to lay my life down. All right? Whatever you need, God. Whatever you need. If you need me to give up something, I'm going to give it up. All for your glory. But look what he says. He said, in lowliness of mind, he says, let each esteem others better than themselves. That's caring more for other people more than you care for yourself. Treat others, value others more than you value yourself. Think about others more than you think about yourself. You see? I got a little nugget here. Those who are trying to find a purpose, your purpose will be wrapped in to what you can do for others. That's when you're going to find your purpose. Some of y'all praying for that, Lord, I need to find my purpose. Your purpose is going to be wrapped into what can you do for others. We looking for the most money we can make. We looking for this. We looking for bling. We looking for that. Your purpose is how you can do the most work for God, helping others. And when you go out there and you step out and you do that, and you find your purpose. Listen, after you find your purpose, then God gonna send the provision. I don't know. That was for somebody up in here. You're looking for the provision before the purpose. You're looking for the money before the purpose. Your purpose is not money. It's not your purpose. So whatever you do, most of the time, you're going to start off doing it for little or nothing. You're going to start off just, you're going to just run into it. You're going to like it. You're going to get paid the best. But there's something about it that's going to draw you to it. That's when you done found it, baby. That's when you're going to find it. And you get a great encouragement by doing this thing. And you're good at it. And people are like, man, listen, you done stumbled upon it. Come on, Pastor, keep going. You got to care for others more than yourself. Matthew 16, well, I told y'all that it was going to be my last scripture. Take it off. Take it off of that. Take it off. Take it off. But I'm going to quote it. Jesus said you got to deny yourself. Deny yourself. All right, saints, listen. Jonadab was a tremendously envious young man. He was an ambitious young man, but selfish ambition. He was wise, almost like Solomon, but it was all for self-motivation. Next time, I believe we're going to kind of get into his plan and what actually happens and what he does. Amen. But there may be somebody here. You would say, Pastor, I'm fighting this selfish ambition. And I feel some kind of way when somebody over me. And I got a problem humbling myself. And tonight, I don't even know if I'm born again. For you, listen, we're going to pray the sinner's prayer. And all you got to do is admit you a sinner, believe in Christ Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection, and confess him as your Lord, and God going to save you. But we got some in church right now. And your time in Philadelphia is uncomfortable because you're watching everybody else get promoted but yourself. And you're feeling some kind of way about it. You're mad about it. And the fact that you're mad about it is the very reason why God has put a steady on you. Because you're not ready. You're mad about it is a sign, amen, of selfish ambition. It's a sign. And I'm going to pray for you too. I'm going to pray for you too. And what I find is that people that's not promoted, that get mad, they really deep down inside know why they're not being promoted yet. They know how they're living when nobody's looking. My prayer tonight is that we would not be a church like that. That we would love each other so much, we would rejoice when somebody get promoted. All right? And that we wouldn't backstab each other. And that we wouldn't sell out to the cause. I'm going to pray with you the sinner's prayer. I'm going to bless you before we go. And then I'm going to put a little music on while we walk out. Now for some of y'all, amen, you know, it's a little rap now. You understand what I'm saying? But it's Christian hip-hop, all right? I listen to everything. I gave y'all some reggae the other week. Might be some Zydeco next week. I don't know. All right? But pray with me here now. Say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for laying down your life. I confess I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. But I believe that you love me. You died for me on that cross. You were buried, and on the third day, you rose. And I know you're coming back Lord, save me, a sinner. Help me, Lord, not to have selfish ambition. Help me, Lord, not to be a Judas, not to be a Jonadab, not to sell out you or your people. And Father, please, help me to wait on my promotion. Help me, Lord, to be excited when others are promoted. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Brent, you can go ahead and turn it on. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. Not for sale. That's the kind of people we want. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah.